Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graeme Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts, and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. You will also get bonus content every month, including the audio versions of my regular columns for ESPN. So do please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter and join the club, and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Welcome to our Big Interview Icons series, where we shine a light on legends whose names have lit up some of the conversations I've had with the many guests of the Big Interview over these last 6 years. The first up is Eric Cantona, Vive la France. There won't be any mentions of trawlers or seagulls, but what I would say is that retrospectively, Cantona has been extraordinary culturally. I think that he fitted perfectly the move from the old First Division to the Premier League in that he added flair, aggression, attitude. He was or became a world icon when he'd just been a bad boy in French football. The trampoline of the Premier League was very useful for Eric Cantona. It didn't make him a better footballer, but it gave him a platform on which he could be better projected and better understood. He's remarkable too in retrospect in that for a man to change a club, well, a director like Matt Busby or a manager like Klopp or Shankly or Clough, Ferguson at Aberdeen, yeah, that can happen. But for a footballer to change the attitude, the behaviour on the training ground, to help change a promising generation of footballers, like he did with Beckham and Scholes and Giggs and the Nevilles and Butt, but also countless others who came through and watched him add extra practice to training, to change the concept from training to practice, that's a big thing. For a guy to be so important to a relatively conservative man like Alex Ferguson, albeit that Ferguson is a gambler by nature, to make him fly to Paris, team up with Cantona's agent, jumping on the back of Cantona's agent's moped to nick around the streets of the French capital in order to find Cantona and persuade him at that stage not to give up football because of the length of the ban induced by his actions at Crystal Palace. The ban, it had to come. We all have to be responsible for our actions. And Ferguson nicking about Paris without the wider press knowing about it at first in order to persuade his talisman, touchstone, collar up footballer to come back to the Cliff. I love that story. In these anecdotes that the Icon series is made up about, there are one or two mentions of the slight touches of Cantona's life that intersected with my own. They're very small. But what they inspired, just like Cantona inspired people all over the place, were people thinking and speaking differently about this iconic footballer. Who else would arrive in the snow, get kicked out of Trevor Francis's club because the trial didn't go well enough, arrive at Leeds, be branded as a player who won the title for Leeds when in fact he wasn't that important, but the impression remains? Only Eric, right? So it was in 1992 when Cantona first gate-crashed English football. The Frenchman was soon going to write his way into Premier League history, as I've been explaining, but as few of us at the time expected. Nevertheless, there were a couple of our guests who did see it coming. Simon Stainrod played against King Eric in France and provided a character reference to Leeds boss Howard Wilkinson. Chris Waddle got even closer to the great man, having shared a dressing room with Cantona at Marseille. We'll also hear from both Gordon Strachan and Gary McAllister, who saw at first hand the impact this mercurial, marvellous French talent had on the Leeds team that won the title in 1992. Here's Eric.
So now I'm manager of Dundee, and Howard rings Dundee Football Club up and speaks to my secretary, Isabel. She puts through a call for me from Howard Wilkinson. So I'm like, Howard Wilkinson, right, okay. Howard, how are you? I'm all right. They'll know that, Cantona. What's the thing about him? He's played in France and they've seen him. I said, Howard, I said, he's one of the top six players in the world. He can do anything, but you won't like him. He said, okay, fine, thank you. Hung up, gone. Never spoke to him again until they won the league. I got invited to the football writers' dinner in London, where he was presented with the Manager of the Year award. And I saw him, we're all there in our dicky bows, like, you know, and he comes up and he says, they were right about that, Cantona. And I saw him talking to Alex Ferguson that night, and I thought,
aye, aye.
I could imagine him going to play for him, but not for him, you know.
What do you mean?
Funny, isn't it? How things happen.
It would have been funnier still if you said, "Well, I'll take him if you." You want to loan him out? It's what did you think about Eric in England? Because he seems to represent a point that the apogee of the. If we've talked about the era of, you know, yourself and Tony Curry and Hudson and Osgood and Worthington and whatever, there was an era in the Premier League when it wasn't like we started this conversation, when it wasn't Anodyne, it wasn't Rabotic, there was De Canio.
Yeah,
De Canio. And there was Bergkamp.
Yeah.
And even in goals, Schmeichel was exactly what we've been talking about, although he's very good at his job. And there was Zola, and there was even Benny Carboni, and everywhere you look.
Can you imagine Sheffield Wednesday? They've got, I think, at the same time, maybe Chris Waddle, Carboni, and Di Canio.
At or around, Simon. At or around. It's a joy. It's a joy. It does seem like a dream now. But Eric must be the apogee of all of that, because whether he's better than all the players we've talked about, he seemed to be a totem pole where the Premier League went, well, France didn't appreciate you. It's actually the rest.
Exactly.
the guy who throws his things at referees and shouts and swears, and the French were like, and the Premier League was the place where that, we'll bring all your weak and your huddled masses. He's a king, he's fantastic. Mm. He practices, he turns up his collar and like, it was an extraordinary time, and maybe his big benefit was timing. And the hint now is that maybe Manchester United are going to be smart enough to bring him back. But what did you view the Cantona years? How did you view the Cantona years? Watching.
Well, I played against him when I was in France, and I knew it merits a description. We were playing for Strasbourg. We were supposed to play Marseille, and all the lads were talking about his player Cantona, and that he wasn't going to play because he'd had a fallout with a coach because he'd been brought off in a game and he'd taken his shirt off and thrown it in the coach's face, and he was banned for a little bit, and thank God he wasn't going to be playing. And so we played Marseille. We played quite well, actually. We were very unlucky not to get a draw. My fault. Instead of heading it and scoring, I went for a volley and hit the bar. 2 weeks later, and we've got a home game coming up.
Is the Marseille of Papin up front?
Yeah, yeah. Papin, the two centre-halves were Bernd Forster and Moser, the Brazilian.
Well, Moser was great.
They were the best two centre-halves I ever played.
Batistone would have still been playing, I think, at that time.
Batistone, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were proper.
Yeah.
It was probably the best Marseille team that they had. And then they added Chris Waddle as well, like, you know, which made him even better. So we've got a home game coming. We missed a week for International Week or whatever, and we've got a home game coming up, and we're playing Bordeaux. He was actually loaned out to Bordeaux and played in this game. And he played that game. It was his first game, so you're probably wanting to impress, right? He played that game. I don't think I saw him run once. And every touch of the ball was one touch. He never brought a ball down and played anybody in. He just played one touch. It's like he was in the dressing room before the game. He was like, what really, really amused me today is to not run and just touch it once every time I get it. And he did it. And it was like a coaching manual. It's like, you know, 90 minutes of how to play one touch. You could have played for Liverpool when you had a good team. You know, he'd have just walked straight in and gone like, oh, you play one touch, and like, boom, 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 boom. It was unbelievable. And when I said that to Howard, that, like, you know, you won't like him, Howard would never be able to deal with that individual temperament. Whereas Alex Ferguson would embrace the individual temperament and make more of that individual temperament by making the team play better for that individual. Contrary with Howard, he would make the individual try to play better for the team. And I think Alex's way works better.
Have you put your finger in that description?
You have to be really good, though.
Yeah. You do, of course you do.
Yeah.
Special.
You can have an off day, but you can't have two.
But that idea of taking the team and putting it so that the great player brings out his very best, or the idea of taking a great player or any good player and saying system first. Have you put your finger on why we don't have today the types of players we've been talking about over all these anecdotes, that systems rule?
Because there's no patience for the individual. There's the big problem is the people who are coaching the teams are educated to coach teams. They're not. How do you coach Eric Cantona? You don't coach him. You mentor him. You can't tell him how to play, but you can put ideas in his head.
My question to you would be, you probably try to convince him.
Yeah. You cajole him a little bit. You're not trying to change him.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He played with Cantona. Eric, yeah, character. Never. You know, people going about Eric and they'll go, he was a really nice guy, you know. He'd come in the morning, always come in. 9 times out of 10 would be on a Harley Davidson. Eric was Eric. Big guy, you know. But nice guy. Didn't suffer fools. He'd come in, bonjour, ça va, every morning. Very polite. And he was in the team. Beckenbauer liked him. It was me, him and Papin. He got injured. He did his knee. And he was out 6 weeks or something like that, ligament trouble. And by that time, it became me, Papin and a Biddy Pellier. And we were on fire, the three were. Eric couldn't get back in the team. And Eric was one of them who would think, I'm not sitting here. So he basically said, I want to go, which they did. All right, let him go to Nîmes for a million quid, whatever it was. But I used to get all right with him. He was never a problem. Come in, not the most talkative, trained well, really nice guy. And you know, to me, he was a good player, but I never thought he'd be as big as he was when he came to Man United. And the French players, you know, the Marseille lads, and they used to say to me, we could never see Eric being a massive player in France. You know, good player, but not the height he reached with Man United. You know, Eric was a bit quiet, a bit reserved, and you could see when people say he packed in at 30, whatever it was. And I said, yeah, I could see
it. You're not shocked by that?
I could see Eric doing that. No problem, I could see him doing that.
You made me laugh because when I moved to Barcelona, we decided that we needed a school that would be not Catalan for my young daughter who was moving from London. So we went to a school called Kensington in Pedralbes, just up where Piqué lived and overlooking the Camp Nou. We came in and gradually the people would find out that maybe I talked about football, wrote about football. And I said, oh, Cantona was here for a year. Cantona's boy. And it was the Harley Davidson. He drove up the hill on the Harley Davidson, roared up to the school. And the teacher said to us, when he joined, there's a form, you have to sign the form. So it was name of the child, whatever his son's name was, parent, Eric Cantona, profession. And he sort of stopped, scratched his chin and went, sex symbol. So he was a legend, and all the mummies stayed after taking their kids into school just to see Eric roar up on Harley Davidson. And it feels to me as if United are in a stage now where if they signed Zlatan, for example, it would be akin to what Cantona did. It's that meeting of a presence, an attitude, a talent, and an ego that can explode at a big club if the time is right.
Easy. You could see that. Listen, like you saw he jumped in the hit of Palace fan when he came to England because he got banned in France because he waited in the tunnel and chinned two players. Mm. You know, he hid in the, when they rolled the tunnel thing out, he stood in the gaps. And when they walked in, he jumped out and he got them. So, but that was Eric. And he didn't look at the consequences. You know, he'd say Platini had a clue when he was French national. He never got many caps. But that type of character.
We're in a place now where there's actually a picture of you two playing, isn't
there? Yeah, over there.
Did I see a picture
over
of
there, yeah.
You playing for Chef Wed and him playing for United?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I've got him well with Eric. I really liked him. He was a really good guy. But I could see him packing in at 30. And I think what helped him in England a lot was English fans love a rebel. Mm. You know, they love a Jack the Lad. And I think Eric was off the cuff. Anything could happen, i.e. the Gaza syndrome, all these type of things, anything could happen with Eric. So to them, it was somebody like, you know, reading that story about him. You know, people like Balotelli get more press for what he does off the field than he did on it. Mm-hmm. Where Eric did it for mine, he can't say he didn't. So he got it for the right reasons, but people do like these type of characters who are sort of rule breakers. You know, we've always liked that type, whether it be snooker, football, any type of sport, any type of life. People like them rebellious type players. So when Eric came here, he fitted the bill. Mm. So obviously his football did the talking for him as well, don't get me wrong, but I could see why people took to him.
What was Cantona like? Is his arrival, or
well, his arrival,
is it overplayed a little bit?
No, but yeah, overplayed a little bit, but I wouldn't say his arrival was overplayed. His arrival was sensational. You know, I don't know if you know how the sequence of events went. He'd arrived into the country. Platini obviously wanted him to get games. He'd fallen out with people in France.
Everybody.
So he needed to get to England. Gerard Houllier phoned Trevor Francis. So he goes into Sheffield Wednesday. Mm-hmm. but there's a big downfall of snow. Because of the weather permitting, they can only train indoor. The 2 days that Eric is at Sheffield Wednesday is on an AstroTurf pitch under the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So Trevor says, well, I can't make a judgment, you know, until I see you on grass. I don't know if those words went down too well with Eric. So he jumps in a car and makes a few phone calls, and I think the message gets to Howard. So he comes and trains at Elland Road. So we go through the normal little training session, and then we go to a wee bit of finishing, and within 10 seconds he scores an overhead kick, a hitch kick, you know, bicycle kick, whatever you want to call it. And everybody just looks at each other and looks at Howard and go, sign him.
Yes, please,
sign
boss.
Him. You know, and
it was like that, seriously.
But I know a lot of people will look at that title winning season and say that Eric was integral, but he wasn't. He played, I don't know. You need to look at the stats. I don't even know if he played a dozen games.
No, I was going to say 10. You know,
but what he did was, as teams were aware that we were really challenging, we were coming to Elland Road and literally parking the bus, in a new modern term. And Eric, he did change games. You know, we were struggling to break teams down. He would come against Chelsea, scored a wonderful goal flipping over the big fella Elliot. A couple of goals against Luton. You know, there was two or three games at Elland Road where we were struggling to break the opposition down, and he came on. And so he certainly played a part. But nowhere near.
It's kind of mythical.
It's more about what he went on to do, and people refer back and said he was the man.
I kind of reinvent a little bit backwards. Yeah. We spent some time with Chrissy Ward on this series, and Chris really quite liked Eric,
mm-hmm.
and also said that he bore no resemblance to what you could think of him if you only read about cursing at referees and then throwing a book at a panel of people finding him and falling out with whoever it was, mm. and jumping off into the Crystal Palace fan. He thought he was a terrific pro and a good lad and fun to train with. What was it with the football, just talking about the football with you and him and Gordon and him, was it easy to understand? Was it just like there was something quite natural because you've all got a nice domination of the ball?
It was one of those occasions where the football language is totally international. There was no need to communicate, or, you know, it was just that he knew and he could see, you know, and he fell into little areas. He's a quality footballer, and he's proved that.
Hmm.
Moving on after we'd won the league, it was really bizarre the way things just deteriorated with him and the manager. And I was quite pally with Eric, and he sort of was looking to me, and obviously I was a captain after that season, so I'm Howard's captain, and I was caught in between a little bit, to be perfectly honest. At the time of his departure, I don't know if there was any other options left to Howard, but it had become untenable. He was really destructive in the training.
Bit sulky.
Sulky, yeah, which makes it really awkward, and it was that awkwardness. I suppose the only thing was, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing you don't sell on to Man United.
That's right.
I think that originally it was Howard went inquiring for Dennis Irwin to try and bring Dennis back to Leeds. He started at Leeds.
Yeah.
And Fergie went, no, I don't think he's for sale, but we'll take Cantona. And then it was like, he'd gone.
Do you know, and the weirdest thing is, because living abroad now, I begin to miss out on some of this tapestry of our football, which I think is always almost as interesting behind the scenes. Not the rows, but the personalities, the decisions, the trends. It was only recently I found out, and I don't know if it was common knowledge, that Fergie had decided that creative move the ball at linchpin number 10 player
Focal
that he was
point,
was Peter Beardsley.
Yeah. And then he just fell upon.
And then he was about to start doing the thing for Peter, and then literally, as you say, he was like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't believe his luck.
There was obviously wee things when Eric went to, you know, it was the time of all the youngsters coming on the scene at Manchester United and how impressed they were of Eric staying behind at training. So it was similar, you know, like Batty and Speed were the same, you know,
were they?
And Strachan would come and Eric would always come and join that, you know, just behind, you know, bending free kicks and having cracks at the goal. And obviously the young players at Manchester United bought into that as well and seen the practice, the muscle memory. You know, and all of a sudden, like Beckham and Scholes can put a ball in a sixpence, can't they? Just by repeating and repeating.
Mm-hmm.
You touched on something in terms of Naka doing extra work, and I want to just touch on Cantona at Leeds, because I think the myth of what he did subsequently, I think it's probably added a little bit to how much he gave to Leeds in the Championship season. I could be wrong, but clearly he was still an extraordinary talent, an interesting and wide-ranging personality. What was it like to work with him, and what impact did he have on that club in that year?
Oh, listen, he made a difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he made a big difference. And he didn't play a lot of games.
No.
But his presence was just what we were needing at that time when we were starting to get a bit tired. He made a difference. He was a guy you couldn't get close to. He kept himself, even on the bus, which is understandable because his English wasn't great at that time. That's not a problem. People think, well, it was a bad move, but it really wasn't, because his time at Leeds were up. He's got to go somewhere.
Why did you say
that? We couldn't accommodate him. Our whole thing was just work. We didn't have, as you said before, we didn't have that great all-round team. Eric kind of put up with us for a while he enjoyed it, and then things went to go wrong in a couple of European ties. Eric wasn't at his best. There was kind of loggerheads between the manager, Eric, and somebody else going, you need to work a wee bit, just help us a wee bit, Eric. But Eric was like, well, this is what I do. Mm. It's fine. So he left to go to Man United, and again, it's like the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
What Man United were needing was Eric Cantona. What Eric Cantona was needing was Man United. Now, you've got to remember that Eric was never a real success in any club he went to.
No.
Any, he had loads of them. He was in trouble with it. You know, in every club he went to.
Not even a terrific success for the national team, I'd have to say.
No, that's what I'm saying. So,
no.
If you think about him as a player, take all his top games outside Man United. There's no many left. So it was a perfect storm there with that young side, that angry manager and hungry manager, plus him, and getting the adulation that he always wants.
Mm.
So the perfect storm was there. It wasn't us. You could put up with us, and we could put up with him for a certain amount of time at Leeds, and vice versa. But when he moved on to there, that was it, you know.
So I'd speculate that this famous thing, which educated me about him regarding there's training but there's practice.
And oh, he practiced extra. A lot. He
still did that?
He did that, yeah. He did that when life was good. He would take two kids, they'd put balls over, and he'd volley the ball in the back of the net. So when he done it at Man United, I used to say, well, it's not a fluke.
No.
That's what he practiced.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.